Every night, except Wednesday, Americans were tuned in to watch the same destination, a villa in Fiji.
But for many Gen Z viewers, Love Island USA isn't just about watching what happens on screen, it's about dissecting the episode and who they're watching it with.
Audiences are meeting in person to watch and are forming real-life communities.
But how has one dating show captured Gen Z's attention like this?
I'm Jason Acuna.
And I'm Ronnie Graham.
And this is Unbothered by WFSU Public Media. Hey, Ronnie.
Hi, Jason. I have a question. Have you been watching Love Island?
I honestly have not been. It's a trend that I am not on top of. I know that it's a reality dating show, but beyond that, I'm pretty lost. So I'd love to hear more about it.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty crazy. So here's how the show works. Men and women go on vacation with the goal to find love. Americans can vote in real time for who can stay on the island and who can stay in certain relationships. By the end of the show, the winning couple gets $100,000. That's contrary to shows like The Bachelor, where viewers are passive in the process of letting love just unfold, and this season was 36 episodes.
Wow, that is definitely a lot of episodes, specifically considering that most television shows are 8 to 10 these days.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty crazy concept for a reality dating show, and it kind of feels like it was specifically built for Gen Z.
Oh, yeah. The fact that our generation is always on our phones definitely makes the show's impact that much larger.
Yeah, I mean, I hear a lot of people are having watch parties for this show, and they're meeting up several days a week.
Yeah, I actually recently just attended a watch party. It was really cool. There was a menu designed for Love Island themes, so there was tropical drink flavors and food, of course. And they also had their regular business area still playing music, so I found it really cool that people could go and watch the show or go and just, you know, listen to music and have fun. So the show was actually set up outside on a huge projector screen. So you could see from the back, you could hear from the back. And what I found interesting was that a lot of people stayed after. So I feel like that shows the connection because they came for the show, but they ended up staying for each other. Yeah, I saw people of all ages. There was couples, there was friend groups, and I actually got to speak to a student from Florida State University named Ariani Torres, and she talked to me about how she likes to watch Love Island with people even if they don't agree with her.
I think it's better for like our type of generation too, because I feel as the type of, you know, like the age group that we're in, it's important for people to be together instead of on their phone so much and stuff. So having events where you're more connected with people, I like for example, Love Island to me is so much more fun watching it when you have other people kind of pitching in like their ideas, even if you don't agree with it, but it's just more fun because you kind of get like not just what you're watching, who you're watching it with, like your friends, but you have like other people you've never met before too.
Yeah.
Tally is also a college town, and everyone here is for the, like, freshmen are here for the first time. Mm-hmm. Sophomores are here getting used to it, and they're still exploring the area.
Yeah.
So people, college kids, they want a community. They want to foster a community. They want to make friends. They want to meet people.
Yeah.
So it definitely seems like it's not only popular with Gen Z, but popular across the board.
Yeah, I wonder why it's so popular. I spoke with Ayana Ishmael to find out more. She's a style editor at Cosmopolitan, and she's interviewed several Love Island contestants and winners. Okay, let's dive into social media. What do you think about how fans interact with it and how heavily it influences the show?
It's honestly insane, largely because this is one, if not the only kind of reality show that we have it set up in this framework when it comes to dating specifically. There are other shows that are live as they happen and that you get to vote and participate, but this is one of the only ones where it's happening in real time, where these people don't have access to anything. And then we're also voting, and that's like affecting and impacting not only who gets to stay, but also how like they deal with that mentally. And I think that in itself creates such an interesting power dynamic, which is why, unfortunately, like America has become like another character
literally in
the process of the show, because we have access to these people in real time. Like a lot of the, like with The Bachelor, you're watching it and you're reacting on the internet a lot of time, but this was filmed 3-4 months ago, so these people are getting to sit in their homes.
Okay, so what do you think about the conversations that are being had online? There's a lot of deep sociological conversations that happen, and they seem to go really far. Do you think this does more harm than good?
Yeah, for me, I'm kind of split. We always need to talk about colorism or anything that is harmful to different communities. I think it's important. But I also think because of how large the viewership is getting, and I think how the ways in which literacy crisis and comprehension are declining in this country, it gets really kind of complicated, because then it just starts to feel like crabs in a barrel and people talking in circles, and we're not actually educating or helping. We're just attacking and being mean, and people are using colorism and all these other different hot topic words to put down these islanders when we don't have enough context, unfortunately.
Okay, so do you think that the contestants on the show are an accurate representation of Gen Z and what we have going on in the dating world?
Yeah, I think it's accurate. I think the biggest accuracies are lack of communication skills. Across the board, everyone in that villa has struggled to communicate effectively. And it is very telling of our generation. Mm-hmm. I also think with that lack of communication, it's also literacy and just misusing of words and metaphors and not really knowing what things mean, which is also how they're kind of misusing lustful, also misconstruing what connection means. And I think that goes into that Gen Z COVID lack of communication skills, because they even with Kenzie saying a kiss is a handshake, I get that, but all the guys are being oh, I need to be physical to think we have a connection. And that is where that communication skill is showing, because you should be able to tell you like someone without physically having to get physical with them. And I think that goes into them not knowing, and so they're misconstruing having a connection, especially sincere. He thinks to get to know someone, he has to you have to touch and you have to kiss and you have to be in that. And I get the logic, but that's not logical. You can become intimate with someone without only relying on physical intimacy, but because they lack that communication and that social skill and that wit that comes with banter and falling for someone and getting into that, I think that they're just unfortunately lost because of several years of COVID. That to me is the biggest accuracy of misconstruing physical intimacy as the only way of being intimate and forming a connection with someone. And I think for me, those are the biggest things across the board that I've noticed. But it's also layered because it's such a small viewing of Gen Z as a whole. Because again, these kids, they're great, but they're only one person. So I think they speak to a lot of larger issues, but I feel like I do have hope that there's still educated and social Gen Z people out there.
Years from now, when people look back at Love Island as this cultural moment, what do you think it will reveal about this generation in terms of what we valued, what we're searching for, and how we're connected?
That's a good question. I think it's feels maybe not the exact thing, but I think looking back, not just the show, but I think the social media and America access part of it as well attached to the show, I think what they'll see is that everyone is really craving community. I think people really want to be a part of something. They want to be involved. It's the reason we have so many more people watching this year than we did last year. People don't want to miss out on a moment to be there and to say they were there and that they were a part of it. And I think that's the reason why people are freaking out and going insane a lot of the times, is because I think they're just chasing after that feeling of belonging.
Yeah, so it seems like it's really bringing people together and forming new communities.
Yeah, although we're connected digitally, I think people still are seeking more.
So I do wonder why and how this show became so popular with Gen Z specifically.
Yeah, so I think it comes from the rise of parasocial relationships in Gen Z. I spoke with Dr. Chantel Bugs. She's a sociologist whose research focuses on relationships, race, and how people navigate intimacy in contemporary society. She's also explored how popular culture shapes the way we think about love. She's an assistant professor of sociology at FSU, so she has a front row seat to Gen Z and connection.
Yes, I do watch Love Island USA. At least I've watched it this season and last season.
So you've actually watched it. Okay, cool. So what do you think of it? How did you get into it? Can you just run me through that?
So I research online dating. And as there's been kind of this increased rise, especially I think on streaming services, of a number of reality dating shows. So I watch Love is Blind. I've been watching that since the beginning. I watch, you know, The Ultimatum. I watch Too Hot to Handle. Like, I've watched a number of these shows. Several years ago, one of my undergraduates did her honors thesis doing an international comparison of two different reality dating shows. So, I mean, it speaks to my research interest in, like, dating and what that looks like now, and certainly what lessons or what kinds of, I guess, like, information people, I think especially young people, are taking away from these dating shows in terms of, like, what to expect in their relationships. I'm actually, like, contemplating doing a project about this, actually. So anyway, so like, cool. The interest is certainly coming from a research perspective. But I also have friends who watched and were like, you need to be watching this. And I kind of felt like I was left out last season. And so I started watching. And so, this, you know, I have been following this whole season from the beginning of this season. Cause like last year, I think it was like, oh God, I want to say we were like 20 episodes in before I even started watching. And I remember last summer when like people were like kind of posting it, like how packed some of these bars were they were going to, especially like for the finale, things like that. So again, it's very interesting to me. I think the live aspect about this is part of what is so unique. It happens pretty much every day. So it gives you a way, I think, in a society where people are feeling even more disconnected, it gives you something to connect with other people about, even if it's just over social media, or maybe, you know, you venture out to a bar to watch it on a projector, right, and kind of be around other people.
Yeah. And so when it comes to people interacting so much with the show, where do you think that leaves entertainment? Like, so has the line between creator and consumer started to disappear if audience is helping so much?
It's definitely doing a lot of detrimental things in terms of people's kind of parasocial connections. And again, parasocial relationships are not new. People have been writing about parasocial relationships, you know, since like golden era of Hollywood, you know, like, so well before the internet, we had parasocial, right? We had people developing parasocial relationships with celebrities, people that were in the media. I think what social media has done is the people who are these strangers that we think that we know are not just actors in movies, you know, where we conflate them with their roles. They're not just models that we see in magazines. They're not politicians. Like, now you've got, influencers, creators, content creators who are largely just regular people. Who, you know, their whole thing is about like crafting an image that makes you as a person who consumes their content feel like you know them and can relate to them, can learn something from them, etc.
Being in Tallahassee, you've had the front row seat to how college students build community. What have you noticed about the way students connect with each other today compared to 10 years ago?
You know, so again, like, social media in some capacity has been around for a long time. I mean, when I was a teenager, we were on MySpace. And when I first went to college was when Facebook first launched. you know, and we had chat rooms and those other kinds of things, you know, before that. So, you know, I definitely don't, I mean, there's so many more ways for you to connect to strangers online now, like just the sheer number and for any and everything. And I think it's also like, you know, I mean, I see friends my age, you know, who will often joke about how, you know, we weren't meant to know this much information about other people. We weren't meant to interact with these many strangers' thoughts, you know, like, there's something I think in like the increased deluge of what you have to encounter, particularly with, I think, timeline designed social media. So Threads, Twitter, you know, those kinds of platforms, and right, Facebook, right, you know, has evolved to be that way, because of the whole kind of like, you know, them using their algorithms to push certain content, you know, into your face, and Instagram similarly, right? Mm-hmm. And but I mean, it's also the fact that, you know, like Instagram face is a thing, right? And the fact that it's like really shaping how people like not only like use makeup and what kinds of like beauty practices they follow, but like literally is informing like the kinds of plastic surgery that they want to get. Like, and again, it's not to say that, right, like people weren't ever getting plastic surgery before, mm-hmm. but there was a less of a, I would say, like a kind of mainstreaming everybody to like a central kind of mean look. Like, you know, you still kind of had some distinction between people, even if like people certainly took their favorite celebrity and said, this is, you know, the nose, or this is the whatever, you know, that I want. It's just like this weird kind of regressing to the average, where everybody has the same mouth and the same nose and the same cheekbones and eyes. It's weird. It's creepy, right? So there's I think there is certainly, I think, that particularly, I think, with like the, you know, younger generations that are in college now, like, I mean, you have all been born and raised, right, in a time where this kind of social media existed, right? Whereas I've seen kind of an evolution, right, over my lifetime, right, of different kinds of social media. Mm-hmm. And right, like I also, like, even though, like I said, there was definitely different kinds of reality TV that I saw, you know, as a you know, late night or whatever in the 90s. And I mean, The Bachelor's been around since then, and there were things that predated The Bachelor even. I mean, and of course there's all the research that's talking about like attention spans and all of these other kinds of things, which I think maybe is showing up in some interesting ways, apparently with Love Island. Because I remember seeing a number of people complaining that people would start the stream like, you know, early when it first dropped, and they would skip through whole segments so they could get to the end, especially if there was going to be an elimination or something that episode. And it's almost like people want to like be the first to post about the results.
Do you think that, like, with this and how much Gen Z interacts online, especially because I know it's not just Gen Z, but do you think that group of people is struggling to find community, or they're simply creating community in places that previous generations just haven't expected?
I mean, I think, yes, they are like struggling to find community. I think particularly, like, I think part of the reason you're actually seeing these bars packed with this, right, of people who watch this, and I think more so in like kind of bigger cities. I imagine if everybody was on campus, because Love Island wasn't filmed in the summer, it probably would be much bigger deal here in Tallahassee, right? But I mean, I think about like there's a lot of writing about how for young people, they're what we call third spaces. So somewhere besides home or work, right, for people to gather has really declined.
Wow. So it sounds like there's a lot going into why this show may be popular with Gen Z, and how it's kind of captivating their attention, even with the attention span issues that are going on.
Yeah, and the conversations about third spaces is extremely relevant. As someone who grew up with the internet as my third space, I know that me and my friends are always seeking to find places where I can connect with others.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. And I do wonder if this is the start of something new and other streaming services are going to try and capture what Love Island has been able to do this summer, or if this is something very unique to Love Island.
Yeah, let's see. Let's stay tuned in.